ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Hey, po, but the ride was long. Where do we go? Knees getting weak, and my gun might blow. But ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Hey, po, but the ride was long. Where do we go? Knees getting weak, and my gun might blow. But ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Hey, po, but the ride was long. Where do we go? Knees getting weak, and my gun might blow. But ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Hey, po, but the ride was long. Where do we go? Knees getting weak, and my knee gon' be all.
Podcast turned one last night, and we celebrated with some friends downtown St. Louis. It was a beautiful evening. Shout out to everybody who came. Your presence was just dope. I love the energy, and we recorded this live, and we talked about some important issues. So I hope you guys, you know, get a little bit from it, and we look forward to the next one. Life is a balancing act. Peace. How did this show come about?
I guess because we both are in tune with like ourselves. Like, we just was thinking, why not have a podcast that teaches people how to love themselves? You know, we talk about mental things, healing processes, and that's what you study, what, psychology, so that's like your thing, right?
Right. So I'm Aza. That's Zoe. So I gotta, like, I work in the mental health field. I'm a mental health professional. I got a degree in psychology. I write books. I speak about like mental health. I'm an advocate. So I'm very passionate about it. And so when we linked, I was like, I want this to be a platform to promote wellness amongst our people. I want to improve our people's quality of living, like, by sharing stories. And she was, and then we both like artsy and stuff. So we talk about culture and hip-hop. I love hip-hop, too. But I was like, man, moving back to St. Louis, people need to, like, instructions. Like, we need to share our experiences.
Yeah, because, that's what happened. She was talking to me, and I was like, she was like, it's like a dark cloud over St. Louis. Like, it's like bad energy. And I was like, I can kind of see that. She was like, when you go to other places, don't you feel like different? Like, you feel like happy? Like, you always feel like welcome. And she was like, when she moved back, because she lived in what, Alabama or Arkansas? One of the two. And when she moved back here, she just felt like, you know, it was just like a negative thing. Like, when you speak to people, like how people look at you, just like the energy that you come across when you in anyone's presence or in the public or any. So that, I think that's what really started it. I remember her telling me that, and I was like, damn, like, why we just can't, I guess, talk about that and let people know that it's okay to, you know, be nice and like have a social life. You don't always have to, you know, be so stubborn and naive. I know I'm a little stubborn, so I have to work on it myself. And then I advocate for therapy and mental things like that. So I think that's where it stemmed from, when she just figured, like, why are people so evil here?
I didn't say evil. Pause.
The energy is so bad.
Pause.
But that's what I was thinking.
I'm from her. I'm from her.
Yeah, but if you said a black cloud, I'm like, damn, that's like,
it was
Gotham City, right?
Gotham City.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No, but I recognize it's trauma. It's the oppression in the city. It's the poverty. It's just like the violence. So I recognize what it is. But like I was saying, I'd rather be part of the solution. I feel like if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Right. Like helping out.
Yeah, like helping out. So, like, I also do healing circles and all like that. Because I came back after the Mike Brown thing, and I was working with some trauma-informed organizations. Mm-hmm. And, like, they had statistics up to here. Like, St. Louis is like a war zone. And I was like, but this was only information accessible to mental health professionals. Like, they don't share this type of information with the public. So I was like, I'm gonna make it my business to share this information with the public that this is like a war zone and children are being raised. And I have two sons. Like, we're raising children in these type of conditions, you know? So that's how it came about. And so this episode that you guys are gonna help us with is called the...
I'll call it Life Balancing. So, balancing life. And so we're gonna talk about that topic first. I came up with this topic actually today. And I was just thinking how, like, my friends personally, like, we all are parents. And we all have, like, a lifestyle, a social life, and we have, like, a career. And some of us, we know where we're going. Some of us have trouble to, you know, where are we going? So, we're going to talk about, like, how can we balance motherhood, fatherhood, even, like, your social life, like, having friends outside of family, and just, like, where you want to go in life.
So, before we start that, I want to just read y'all some statistics. So, since we started last year, we got, like, close to 900 plays. And it's crazy because I was stalling. Like, you kept telling me to start and I wasn't ready. So when I looked at the statistics, I was like, dang, like, I'm glad you pushed me. You know, you always need somebody in your corner to, like, push you. Because I was going to keep making excuses. Including this country, it's three countries. We got people in Brazil and Ireland. I don't know who they are. And the top cities is St. Louis, Chicago, Houston, Huntersville, and California, Mountain View, California. So that just shows you, like, the power of the platform of you just sharing, you know, being transparent. Like I said, we on Spotify, iTunes, all that jazz. And I got one question. Is there anything in particular y'all want to talk about? Because I'm also a hip-hop head, and I love the hip-hop culture, and I feel like there's a lot of culture vultures. And our last episode was about Jay-Z and Nicki Minaj. She a barb, and that's just, like, so mind-blowing to me. I try to stay away from, like, the celebrity gossip, because it's, like, real issues that's happening that I feel like we can talk about, and that's why I don't like Nicki Minaj. But is it because I'm like, you got all these followers in this platform, talk about something positive. That's just how I feel. But is there anything y'all want to talk about before we start? Anything y'all want to touch on? Y'all like the topic? Life is a balancing act.
Self-love.
Oh, and that's also a Dr. Seuss, the children author. That's his whole thing. That's why he be having all the books and the balls in one hand. When you see him, his whole thing is life is a balancing act. So if you get your hands on a Dr. Seuss book, you're going to be like, oh, he's like he's enlightened. Yeah. So Yeah, and if y'all got any questions, like I said, this is our podcast. Y'all can chime in. So life is a balancing act. So you want to start? How do you balance your life working?
I'll start. I know me. I have this thing to where, like, I had like a career issue, so I really didn't know what path I wanted to take. And one day I was talking to Rick, and I was like, "Hey, like, you always quit a job. Why do you always do that? Like, what is it? Why you just can't be consistent into a career?" And I'm like, I've reached the point to where if I don't like something, then I'm gonna change it. So I was like, well, I'm just gonna go to school, and then I wanna do fashion, because that's just something that I really, 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 really love. Mm-hmm. So let's just do that. And so he was like, okay, that's cool, but is that something that you really wanna do? He really don't understand that, because he's like a guy. So a lot of men don't understand creativity part. They understand
logic. He didn't think that you can do fashion full time.
So I try to balance that and do social. Like, I'm a social media person, of course. And so I was like, well, if I'm in fashion, why can't I just put the two and two together?
Yeah.
So with me, it was like, this is my passion. And since social media is such a big thing, the two can go together. And I'm new to motherhood, so I, like, learned from, like, people, like, on social media, like, kid things. Like, I didn't know kids do this or that. Yeah. So, like, me, like, trying to balance life and, like, career-wise, social, and stuff like that, I just learned that you really need help.
How many
I'm an independent
parts?
Person.
How many parts in here?
I'm an independent person, so I like to do stuff on my own. So,
she
a mother.
You and one, so three. Yeah, you got three, including myself. Five. Yeah. All right.
No.
Put that on me.
Nah. So basically, I think it's good to have like a social life and having family and stuff like that to help you, because you really can't do everything by yourself. And I'm an independent person.
Yeah.
I like to do everything by myself. So I just learned to like ask for help.
Right.
If I don't know something, I do ask. So I think a lot of people, I think mothers that I know, like the young ones, they kind of feel like they can do it all by themselves. And I'm just like, you don't even know. Like, you need help. Like, you can't do this on your own. So I try to tell people that I know. I have a friend. She just had a baby. This is her second child. And she is really going through it. And I'm like, well, you, like, so into your own bubble. You have to really ask for help. Like, right. If you can't do everything yourself.
That's
so she have a hard time balancing.
You know what that is, though? That's ego. That's just people. And it's a quote, like, ego is like, if the bigger your ego, the harder the fall. And so it's like people be having this big ass ego, and then when things fall apart, then they reach out for help rather than being proactive. And that's like a culture. I don't know what that's about, really. And it's really, really dominant in St. Louis. Like, everybody, like, I got me. I can do this by myself. And you're like, man, let me hold the door for you. Like, it's just like, I don't know. In the South, people was more friendly and they asked for help. But like you said, I learned to incorporate my children into what I do. Like, I was out there yesterday. You asked me about Conscious Fest. They were selling books, prints, helping me put up my little bodega, my shop, you know, like, because they gonna inherit it one day, right? They gonna take over it one day. So why not incorporate them into what I'm doing? And that's called haptic learning. You learn faster when you in the moment. Mm-hmm. So it's like, make your children a part of it. you have to have a team. Like, I remember my mentor was like, yo, you cannot do this by yourself. You need a team of people. And I don't know, what y'all think about that?
Like, do you know people that's like independent? Like so, mothers that's
that not even, I mean, we got fathers. Well,
I would say for me personally, this is just coming, I'm a juvenile officer, this is for great time, it's very well deserved. Out of all of the, I would say juvenile, out of all of the juvenile, female juveniles that we got, they always discuss about their mother. Most of them don't have daddy issues. On the guy side, they always discuss, talk about their father. Never talk about the mom. So for me, I always say, when, in our generation, especially in the St. Louis, in the county, in the city, it's totally different than St. Peter's where I work at. So where we raised it, women, our mothers are showing young women how to be independent. Because we were raised without fathers. Even though your parents were co-parents, your father was not in your home. So you saw your mom be independent in your home.
100.
So when you become a mother, your mindset is to become a mother as an independent mother to your child or children.
Right.
Men shy away from trying to take care of their children because they didn't see their father display the same thing that they needed to show their own children.
So, she
has
some.
Yeah, and to go off of that, I was
going
to say that, but it sounds like what you're saying, like it's based off of your experiences that you learn, whether or not you can rely on other people. So I feel like it might not just be you, it could also be a defense mechanism, because let's say you did rely on certain people, or you counted for your father or your mother to be there for you, and they weren't, or friends, etc. So you've learned to experience that. When people say we all we got, that literally means, well, to me, I can't rely on other people because they've proven themselves not to be reliable.
Right.
So it's better for me than to not experience the disappointment and to be let down. It's better for me to just go with the person I know that's not going to let me down, which is myself. So I think it could be a combination of things, maybe not just ego, but it's all of that combined that make people say, like, I'm cool, I got it.
Those are great points. But do you think those guards are healthy? Those fences are healthy?
I think they're necessary.
You think they're necessary? You think they're healthy?
No, sometimes I don't think it's healthy for the self, for your personal self, you know? Sometimes a person might, me for example, I don't know you. But you might have, for your personal self, you might act like that, but I don't know that you act like that because I just met you. So how can I, one reason why I would know if I say, how are you? And in the United States, that's the biggest issue because a person can walk around with the worst mental health, and it takes one person. I went to New York, and I sound like you're from the East Coast, but I said, but I'm saying, like, when I went to New York, you never hear a person say, how are you? But you hear about people jumping off a building, setting themselves on fire.
100.
But I went to 172nd Street, I asked a girl, how was she? I swear to God, and I promise, this is my blood cousin right here I'm talking. The girl literally cried because she said her own mother let her walk out the house today and ask her, how was she? Good morning and none of that. And she just told me, she told me off of the strength of me asking her that she battled with depression.
Wow, dope.
And to help someone like that and help her walk away from committing suicide is because someone that battled with it before and got themselves through it. Mm-hmm. Help someone like that. Me.
Right. I just did an 8-foot suicide prevention mural.
Yesterday.
Man, and it opened up floodgates because people was telling me about their suicide stories, and I never heard them like that firsthand. Like this dude was like, my skin made me crawl, and this other girl was like, I didn't think nobody deserved for me. It was just like I wasn't even ready, to be honest, because they was just vulnerable. It makes you vulnerable when somebody shared up that with you. But it like lets you know that like people are dealing with issues, and since we lack that communal, a lot of people, let's just keep it 100, they come from dysfunctional homes and dysfunctional communities, and then you turn out to be dysfunctional. So it's like, you get what I'm saying? So when you...
It's normalized.
Right, it's normalized.
But how can we call it normalized when you got the suburban kids that grew up with getting rich homes turn out to be the ways they were not raised to be. Like, I got tons of white friends that grew up with moms, doctors, lawyers, never woke them. I'm quite sure every motherfucking, every person in this room has got a whooping. Yeah. My friends have not. They don't have that experience they have. So they all enjoy. They, like, went to drugs because the person didn't turn from that. You know, they let them have so many outlets. Go outside, go with your friends. Oh, I know you smoke weed. You still hang with them.
You don't think that's dysfunctional?
No, I said I said it is, but sometimes it doesn't come from the home because some people, some parents don't look at it like that. They think they're doing good for their kids.
Right.
Be like an outlet, but when they come back and turn tenfold to them, then they feel like a bad parent.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about, like, what as far as, like, that, is that something that you guys, like, want to, like, fix within yourself to, I guess, what is something that you want to change as far as, like, say, like, if you want to, do you know if you have the right path of, like, your career, or, like, is there something, like you're a producer? Is that something that you really want to do? Like, what made you want to be a producer? Like, is that a passion, or did you just fall into that?
It's been a passion since, like, it's been a passion since I was, like, fourth grade when I first started playing violin. And I'm like, man, this is it.
You played the violin? I thought you just played the piano.
I played it, too.
Hey, you was called instrumentalist. That's what's up. I'm chilling.
But for real, like, so, like, it wasn't until, I want to say, like, middle school, I really started, like, making beats. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, man, I love this. I'm staying until, like, 2, 3 in the morning, you know what I mean, making beats or whatnot. And then I get to high school, and then, at first, I'm like, I was told my mom, yeah, mom, I want to be a lawyer, cool, blah, blah, blah. Then I started making beats, and I got to high school, like, all right, mom, I want to own my own record label. He's like, all right, well, make sure you get your real job. I'm like, all
right. Right.
Well, you know how it is. But, that's just something that I've always been, you know, innately good at. And that's just something that, you know, I've been blessed with and have the opportunity to, you know, pursue. I guess kind of, you know, reflecting on that question, music is where, you know, I want to be. This is, you know, this is truly like what I love to do. This is what, this is just what I love to do. And it's, and I guess as far as where I'm at now, it's funny because this whole idea of balance is kind of what I'm working on right now. You know, how do you balance having this full time? Because I'm in marketing right now. So it still kind of works hand in hand, but so like, how do I still work and then, you know, still be a producer at the same time? I'm working on it right now, but it's a process nevertheless. And I think as long as, and I'm learning that it's okay to know that I'm at a position where I'm still having the ability to create, to make the music that I love to make, and to still have the opportunity to have the money to, you know, support what I do through music until the time comes. So I think, I guess it's a tough question, but it's still something I'm learning how to balance myself right now, too. So
you think,
because
I was talking to this girl. I was at Twisted Ranch maybe like a week ago, and I was talking to this girl, and we just like was talking about stuff, and she was saying, I was telling her that I work and I still like do my fashion thing inside, and she was saying how you can still work, but you still want to put all your effort into your purpose. Mm-hmm. And she was like, No matter where you are, you still have like an ending point for yourself. Mm-hmm. And she was like, because she worked at the post office downtown, and she was like, I'm not retiring from the post office. She was like, some people, you get there and they there for 20 years. She was like, I'm gonna give them a full 5 years because I'm gonna work towards what I really want to do. But all the money that I make, she was saying like she make like two grand or $3,000 there, and I was like, damn, okay. She's like, but all that money,
a week.
So,
She was like, all this money that I made, I'm gonna just put it towards like my purpose. And I was like, that makes sense. I think that's what most of us do. Like, we work normally. Like, we have our 9-to-5, but we have something on the side. And we use that money, or we don't even have to use that money. Sometimes we can use whatever is in that career. Like, I can learn how, like you said, marketing. You can learn marketing from your job, and you can put that into, like, your producing and market your beats or your business that way. So you can kind of take something from your 9-to-5 and incorporate that into your purpose or your passion. So she was just telling me that, and I just felt better because I was like, damn, I felt like I was struggling for a second. Because me, I don't like to be nowhere that I don't want to be. That's always been my thing, because time is very important to me.
You shouldn't have to, I don't know, I feel a little indifferent, because I feel like you shouldn't have to compromise your time for money. And I feel like when you working, if you at a job, it should be reciprocity. Like, I should be gaining a valuable skill and experience to take me to the next level. You know, I'm not just doing some middle school shit.
Yeah.
Like, and that goes to self-worth. You know, like, I know my worth. Like, I just resigned. The resignation. I just resigned, and I didn't feel like I was going anywhere. You know, and I feel like my time is up. It's on to the next. And I feel like people get stuck. Like, they get stuck. And it's like, now you don't know what your purpose is or your potential. Because just like you got that little gig, because it's just a little gig, you can get another one, right? And it's about trusting that process, like trusting it.
I want to say, just because it's funny, because I was just having this conversation with a good friend of mine. I just had a session with him yesterday. We were literally just talking before I came here, and man, it's so crazy. So, like, in terms of like what we are career wise, he told me that really good friend, my cousin actually, he told me that, you know, just this space that we're in right now, like, although we got these jobs that, you know, it's not where we want to be.
Right.
We should still be grateful, because this is where, you know what I mean, we should still be grateful, because this is like, this is still providing some kind of revenue income source for us. And not only that, like, people looking at us like, you know, there's someone in another position that's not as doing as good as we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, kind of just not taking what we have for granted at the same time, but looking at it as like, looking at it as a blessing, looking at it as, you know, this is a stepping stone. No, I'm not going to be here forever. I got my plan. I know where I'm going to go.
Right.
And I have, you know, like, I see it. You know what I mean? As long as we're working toward it every day, mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I mean? We're going to be cool. And I think another thing with this balance thing is patience. Like, we want this so bad, but we gotta, you know, let's say it happens tomorrow. Like, let's say you get into fashion tomorrow. Like, Tom Ford hitting you up. You know, you got to style. You got to do New York's Fashion Week. Got to fly out there. Are you, like, I mean, I'm sure you, I mean, are you ready for that? Like, if that happened.
Am I ready for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's what's up. Like, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, in that process, like, yeah, we're gonna get ready too. But like, when we get to that point, and when we get like bigger, when we get to that point and we get these bigger opportunities, like, there's a lot of things we're still learning along the way. So, like, we're learning patience, we're learning endurance, you know, we're learning, you know, self-discipline, self-control, yeah. Learning all of that in the process.
That's 100. And so, it's an African proverb, smooth seas doesn't make a skillful sailor. So it's like, you gotta go through the ups and downs to be skillful. And then it was like, it was this dude, he owned a record label, and he was talking about like how he treated his passion like his 9-to-5.
he was like, I was able to give up my 9-to-5 because I, he's like he a guru. He's like, I treated my purpose like my 9-to-5. Like, I would wake up and I'd do street marketing and I hit up, like, you know, so it's like, but also he had the soft skills because he did have a 9-to-5. So it's like, he had the discipline and the work ethic. And that's another thing. You talk to other people and they be like, millennial, like, we want everything fast. But it's like, you gotta, like, have that 9-to-5 to get the discipline and wake up, because you won't have no structure.
And not even, like, just the 9-to-5, but, like, also just even in your passion, like, you know what I mean? I can't, like, I can get in the session tomorrow, you know what I mean, with Anderson Paak, and I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, but I know, like, right now, like, I can make it happen, but I know that there are things that I still need to learn before I get to that point to know that I'll be effective, you know what I mean? So I feel like there's, you know, in the process, you know, it's I feel like we just need to enjoy the journey of getting there more than being there, like, more than, like,
you need to be here tomorrow.
You know what I mean? Like, enjoy the journey. I think it's, that's what makes it all rewarding and worthwhile. Like, what you learn and what you, you know. Oh, good.
It wasn't exactly connected to that point, but
we freestyling. Just
that's going to make excuses or being a contrarian. But I feel like we're using the term 9-to-5, but not everybody has a 9-to-5. Some people have like a 9 to a 9, or like, you know, like, people are working crazy hours. And right. And also sometimes wages come into play, where I don't know that people have the mental energy or emotional energy, whatever, the time, the money to be able to say, okay, I'm going to leave this job. I do think it's a privilege to say I'm going to leave the job and find another one, because some people literally are holding on to whatever they have at this point in time, and they have kids or other expenses or other people counting on them. And maybe I'm making an excuse to say that you that it's not possible for everyone to do the same in pursuing their passion. But the real, like, the when people have real urgent needs, like how I'm going to feed my kids or how I'm going to pay my rent, I think that occupies your mind more so than, like, okay, I have a passion. So what is it? Because first you have to, you know, like, think of all that stuff, and you're not thinking about that if you're working as much as people are working out here, that low wages that they're earning. So even to dream, when I have the time to dream, I feel like you have to have time for it. And not everybody even has the time, or maybe it's not making the time, maybe it's capitalism, whatever. But I just feel like the conversation we're having about a 9-to-5 is very, like, maybe that matches some experiences in this room, but there are people who don't work that schedule and who work crazy hours and have, like, all kinds of situations at their job that make it to where you're done, like, you're exhausted when you leave work.
So
you go to sleep, you do it again.
I'm so glad you, like, hitting levels though, because you always bring it back down to, like, the base chakra. Like, you bring it back down. And I think we talk about support, because I know people, and it's like, I was able to resign because I have a husband and I have a publishing company. I have a, you know, consultant. I have these things in place, right? I have a support system, but I built it. So it's like, how, because I know what you're talking about, like, the everyday grind, like that hustle, and I got mouths to feed, and, you know, like, I got people that depend on me. So it's like, how do you elevate from that? Like, that's the next question, I guess. I mean, whatever you want to, no, I'm just saying. That was a deep ass breath. That was a deep breath.
Exhale.
That's good. But what I was saying was, like, how, because what it is people really don't have support systems. Because I feel like I work shitty jobs.
Right. A survival mentality. So it's like, if I have a child and if I have bills, it's like sometimes my passion can't pay bills or put, like we say, like, food in my chat mouth. So I kind of have to work this job, you know, for the time being until, you know, I get there.
Yeah.
And I think that's what she's saying. Like, some people, like they say, they create jobs for us. Like, everybody's not going to be a business owner or, you know, somewhere in, like, a A&R building, cabin, you know, records and stuff like that. So
we all have like a position in life. I think it's just, my thing is, if you want to do that, I just figure out, like, if you want to do that, make sure that when you're in that career, like, you know, like, I want to do that next. I want to be at this level or something like that. Because I work, my job is food. So, like, I have an opportunity to go to the corporate building. So, I'm like, in December, so I'm like, I'm going to do that. Like, yeah. My supervisor, like, pushing me to do that. And I'm like, that's cool. I can do that. So, I can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
For the time being, until, you know, everything comes full circle in my, you know, fashion part. So,
But the question is this. It's like, because I agree. Because you have careers that, like, you need to work that job. Like, lawyers, doctors, and stuff like that. But it's like, those jobs, like, shitty jobs.
What's a shitty job, though?
A shitty job is where you feel like shit. Put up with shitty jobs.
Okay, so yeah. I got a story about that, because when I was in school, I had a professor, and she worked for the Metrolink. She mm-hmm. was like the high top person, so she was making a lot of fucking money, and she was like, I was making so much money that I could probably buy like a real nice mansion.
Yeah,
and she was like
yeah.
the top person. So I'm like, what made you become a professor like in college? And she was like, I was working for them for like 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I was making so much money, but I felt like shit because I wasn't in the field that I wanted to do. She was like, sometimes people are in those high positions and they just never happy. She was like, I was never happy. I had all this money. I don't have no kids. I don't have no man. She was like, I was just very independent and I just had all this money. She was like, but I just knew I was wasting my time. And she was like, I'd rather be here teaching and something that I like than to be, you know, at the top of the Michelin fucking cussing people out all day long. And I'm like, damn, that's crazy. She was like, it's so crazy. She was like, I'd rather conform into something that I like
mm-hmm.
than to be, like you said, at a shitty job. And she was making a lot of fucking money. And she was like, when I say, it's people like I know that still working there that don't really want to be. She was like, you can be in a job, but just make sure that you like it. Like, that's something that you like.
I was listening to this Nipsey Hussle interview, and he was just talking about how, like, this technology. I feel like in order to be successful or have a balanced life, you got to have some aptitude for adaptability. Like, you have to be able to adapt, right? And so he was just talking about how, like, this technology wave, it's kind of like the gold rush for our age, you know, like people building apps, you know, people, it's like a lot of systems going to be disrupted because of this technology age. And he was just like, I know my purpose and I know my plan with it. Like, do you know yours, you know? And I think like you have to be able to adapt, and I'm here, but I'm also going to be there, and then I'm going to be here next. And so these are the conversations I have with people. It's like, if you want to get to the next level, you got to be talking to the people who are already on that level. And I don't feel like complaining gets you anywhere. So I'm all about self-empowerment. Like, you get what I'm saying? And I understand this system of capitalism. It's serious. It's a beast. It is. And that's why other cultures have susus and they have, you know, community pots. Because it's a beast. I don't think a single mother should be working 2 to 3 jobs.
Let me say something about that. So I was working at this daycare, making $9.50. Cool job. Was able to pay all my bills. My bills was more than what I brought in,
mm-hmm.
but was still able to pay all my bills. Don't ask me how. Don't tell. But look, I worked with babies, and they cried all day. So I took a 2-hour lunch break, get an hour lunch. My mom's like, you took 2 hours. And I was like, yeah, but my mental state. She's like, but still, those 2 hours, you're supposed to ask for 8 hours. No, my mental state. Either I'm going to give you how long, or I'm going to come back with sanity.
That's 100.
Which one? She had attitude, but she used to boss that talked and smack. Like, when she, like, you're too old to be rolling your neck and eye smacking. About 60.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't do it no more. It just, you know, we in a room with 8 kids is just holler all day. You can't be there, give them bottles, but when one put one down, the next one hollers. So it's a ripple effect. So eventually, I just said I quit and I didn't worry about bills. I just said I couldn't do it no more. I called off and I wrote like 2 hours later for my resignation in. And then I got an email from my sub job for like a short term. So when I started the school in Normandy, they said I was going to be there the rest of the year. So not only did I leave a low paying job, I went to a high paying job dealing with more difficult kids, but someone that I can relate to because I was a difficult kid. So it was a balance and it was different because now I deal with these kids every day to come home with my kids. So it's like, oh, I'm so tired because I get up so early, then leave. But it was like, kids need tough love. And the kids that I deal with, they get it. They made their teacher quit because they were so bad. But I'm going to call your mama. No, don't call. I'm going to call your mama. When you're on the phone, you're crying. So what's the problem?
Right.
Like, yeah. But I think for her, for that situation, because I was there every step of the way, but it takes, like you say, it goes back to having someone up there because a single mother can't do things alone. Like, we're very supportive in everything we do with each other. You know, she come and tell me about how the kids are at school, how she didn't like the daycare. So I had told her, since it was driving her crazy so much, she's letting someone else's children eat up her mental when her own isn't. That's when you have to leave a place. So me pushing her and telling her she has to leave because you're going to have to be so frustrated. Your mind will be so acidic to where anything that you do or come home to, you're going to take it out on your kids, not the problem, your job is.
And then, I don't know, I just be thinking different. Like, a job is like somebody own that job. And then it's like, it's not worth your health. Like, that's
not,
just, like,
not.
Why is you there? No, you know what they doing in China with the iPhone factories? They have suicide nets outside. They have, they have Apple campuses. Outside of the Apple campuses, they have suicide nets because people hate their job so much, they jump out. So to prevent suicide, they put nets outside the Apple campuses. And that's why people will be boycotting. And remember I told you, and then I didn't stick with it. But no, it's like that though. Like, that you don't deserve a shitty job. Like, you just have to learn a new skill.
I think it's also the supervisor. They don't care. Like, we had a big meeting with the CEO, and she said, what is one thing that we can, you know, provide to you guys that will make the company better? And I said, check on your employee's mental state. She said, what do you mean? I said, our mental state is more important than you making a dollar. Mm-hmm. Because we can't be, you know, work effectively here, and then we going cuckoo for both of us.
A lot of that comes with, if they don't know, though. So it's like,
but if we come to you and tell you, like, this is stressing me out, remove me from the situation instead of keeping me in the situation. Because nobody in the job wants to come to the baby room.
Right.
Like, nobody. They didn't want to break. They break us when they were asleep. But they never came down enough to give us 15 minutes. We was in there all day, 8 hours. But I love the babies. For real, it's stress.
Gotta give them some chamomile tea. Put their asses to sleep. But we have two of my friends just walked in. So, yeah, that was the topics up there. We were talking about this, the last episode. This, we wrapping it up, talking about like how to live a balanced life. This a live podcast, so whatever y'all say gonna be on the airwaves. If you want to share. And then we're talking about how to live a balanced life. Then we're talking about self-love, evolution, like what's your healing journey, and then 2020, like what's your expectations for 2020. Right now we was on a balanced life, but before we move on, did anybody want to add, like chime in?
It just seems like coming to the conclusion that, like, maybe balance, when we say a balanced life, it looks different for everybody. Like, if we were talking about balance, it seems in the way of balancing your profession and your passion or what your purpose is. But I think that the sort of like the realities of life and what some people are able to do, like maybe everyone's not able to pursue their passion or purpose, or maybe I'm saying this because I don't know what my purpose is, so I'm like, it should be more people who don't have one. But okay, so I feel like if you don't know what that is, or you don't have the time, you know, because life is just life. Maybe balance looks like I work my job that I hate, but I have, like, I don't know, my family, or I have, like, I meditate or whatever, like, balance can be different things, and sometimes it seems like we focus on, like, what's your passion and figuring it out, but for people who maybe aren't able or don't know what that looks like, you can still perhaps find balance. It just looks different for you than it does for somebody.
I think a lot of people can't find their passion because they're too comfortable doing things that they like. Because when you do things that you like so much, you don't know what you love at that point.
Or you're free. There's also a...
That's where comfortability come in at. Like, you got Brie to talk to, you know what I'm saying? If you feel comfortable about talking about anything that you want to pursue, you like, or an outfit, you know what I'm saying? You talk about something, you see if the store is cute. You're comfortable enough to talk to her about the outfit that you want to put on. So I feel like you have someone to talk to. In our society, men, I think the masculinity coming with men, they don't know how to compliment each other. They don't know how to come together and be powerful because it becomes a sexual link at that point. Oh, no, he's too friendly, he's too nice. But women nowadays, she can tell a girl she's pretty, but at the same time, kind of blow to her, she don't want to succeed.
But I
will
say, with the balanced life, I think to figure out where you want to go, I think you have to know who you are. I think a lot of people don't know who they are. I was in the therapy session probably a couple weeks ago. My first session. And the first thing she asked me was, who are you? And she asked that, and I went right ahead, and I was like, oh, no. She was like, oh, let me tell you something. She black, too. She was like, I've been in this field forever. And every woman I've asked who they were, they never knew who they were. Like, nobody knew the answer. She was like, you are actually the first person who ever answered that, like, in a snap of a finger. And I was like, really? I was like, that's crazy. She was like, I think that is the big issue, that a lot of people don't know who they are. So if you don't really know who you are, you kind of really don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
So she was like, when you figure out who you are, I think a lot of things trickle down. You kind of figure out what you like, what you don't like. You kind of start forbidding things in your life. You kind of like dictate your life a lot more than the community or environment or society dictate it. And she was like, and that's the key, to know who you are. And she was like, and that's why we talk about self-love. She was like, self-love is like the biggest issue with women. She was like, self-love, it helps a lot. And so knowing who you are can kind of help out of like what you want to do or where you want to go. And even though if it's not a purpose, it can just be like, if I'm here at this job, I know where I want to go because I know who I am. Like, this position fits me because this is who I am. So I think that is, like, the big issue is a lot of women don't know who they are. And we kind of need to work on it. And so that's why the topic is self-love. Because that's...
I feel like, so as we all, everyone here, you know, everybody in the room, especially the women here, it's a problem in society too. They don't get told they're beautiful enough. You all are queens, and I would definitely stand on that. But as women, how can other women that's listening to this, because they come to y'all, I listen to every podcast y'all have made because I'm very supportive in her.
Right on.
But as women, I would like for y'all to tell the women that's listening to this how to gain self love, how to be a little bit more ambitious, how to be a little bit more, you know, outgoing, because they listen to these things for the advice. They listen to y'all podcast because they love y'all, because y'all lift them up. A lot of y'all saving them lives right now, because there's people out there that y'all don't know their mental state, but y'all saving their mental state.
Yeah, that's why I stuck with it. I ain't
gonna
front. I told you I really
wasn't
gonna do it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did, because you guys doing a really good job. I like this.
So yeah, with self love, I feel like she always used to say, when you wake up in the morning, always look yourself in the mirror. And see everything see everything that you like first. She's like, I know it's something that you don't like about yourself. Mm-hmm. She's like, make that the last thing. And I was like, why? Why not make that the first? Because she was like, point out the good things first, and you'll see they always like what you don't like about yourself. And I was like, that's kind of smart. She was like, do that. And then the things that you don't like, you can kind of like figure it out or work on it. So that's what I've been doing with things that I don't like. And stuff
like when she was talking, like when people like in their survival mentality, like they gotta get a dollar just so they can eat, right? And they like hustling and bustling, that really doesn't seem like realistic to them, right? You get what I'm saying? Like, what are you talking? I don't have time for that. Like, no, because I've been in situations where I'm trying to help somebody and all they can think about is like their next dollar, their next move, because they, you know, just in a fucked up situation.
Well, I always tell people money is a distraction, though. It always been. Like, money gives us stuff, but it's really a distraction. Because, like, when you always think about the dollar, you don't think about nothing else.
It's
like,
not a distraction.
It is a distraction. Because when you think about it, all you think about is money. Like, okay. But have you ate today? Like, what
money do you like? A lot of people don't know what they like. Money is energy.
Money is
energy. Money is called currency. Because it's a current. Right. So it's like.
But look where it's got us though. Because all
it's the love. It's the love of money. It's
right.
It's the love of money that has gotten us there.
It's a distraction sometimes.
Not having money is a bigger.
That's what I'm saying. You got to put it in perspective.
It should be a balance.
It's a balance to it, but
like you said, a lot of it becomes so overwhelming because all we think about is money.
Right.
So they don't really think about what they love.
Because
that's why self-love is so deep, because I could talk to a dude who got a whole Burberry outfit on, but he don't even know who he is.
But it's, it, to go back to what you said, knowing yourself.
Yeah,
it's about,
we're talking about self-love, though.
But let me bring it full circle. So it's like knowing yourself. If I know myself and I know my values, like that Burberry, whatever that shit, that don't mean nothing to me.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't know that, though.
But knowing yourself and self-love kind of go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
It goes hand in hand. Like, you know, like to know yourself and to love yourself is one and the same.
True.
It intertwines.
But do you think a lot of women like love themselves or know themselves enough? Do you know people or ran into people that just really hate a lot of things about themselves but can't really tell you as much good things about themselves? And, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and normally they show those characteristics. They show those behaviors by different things they say about themselves, or they may ask you 1,000 questions like, does this look right, or should I do this, or should I do that? Like, a lot of people always, you just have to be able to see those signs.
Right.
And normally if I have friends that do have those type of behaviors, I give them compliments just that boost their self-esteem and stuff like that.
Right,
just
right.
To kind of help, because you can tell those things. You
yes.
can tell when people have those issues with their self. And I think, like, when you have an issue with self-love, that can afflict other people as well. Like, you can put that off on other people and hurt them because you don't love yourself.
Exactly.
So.
I was going to say, to piggyback off what you said in reference to the money with self-love, sometimes that is, that has something to do with why there is insecurities, but a lot of that stuff is from their experience, the things that they experience, that has a lot to do with the inside and the inner part of the self-love. Like, I don't really think if they had a lot of money, because there's plenty of people who are rich who are still insecure, so I don't think money is the main focus when it comes to self-love and insecurities. I think that's more of things that they're battling with themselves from within.
I would say, I was talking to someone and she was saying how women, I say women because that's just like a, I'm like a woman. It's like that's
what
I think.
A womanist. Right.
Yeah.
A feminist.
So she was saying how a lot of women are so negative about themselves is because it's something that happened to them, like past experience. And she was saying how maybe someone had told them something like a long time ago and it stuck with them. Like, it stuck with them, but it took a toll on them their whole life. So they always been this type of, I don't look this way, I don't like that, I don't know if I, you know, look right in there.
But we stay in a patriarch society.
too. I mean, so when you think about like the conditions that breed these women with low self-esteem. And so to that point right there is like the evolution. It's like you have to let them, like, talk to them, like, look where you came from. You know what I'm saying? Or look where you have to go, or look at your daughter or your son. Like, you have to be an example for them. So I think we don't reflect enough. You get what I'm saying? Like, we don't. It's like you made that quote. You said compromising is a thievery of joy. I was like, damn, that's a bar. Like, but a lot of people compare themselves to other people and they don't reflect on their own journey. Like, you probably the first one to graduate. You probably the first one to get an LLC. That's something. Like, it ain't gotta be, like, no, you got, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got name, brand, and all that little materialistic shit. It's like, look where I came from. You know, and I can tell people, and they see that, like, the people that matter. I'm not talking about people online. I'm talking about people that's in front of you in your inner circle that, like, see your growth. So that goes with, like, your journey. Like, where did you come? Like, you know what I'm saying?
One thing I just want to add, just kind of speaking on the music side, that's what I know. I'm reading a book called Effortless Mastery. A good friend of mine put me on it. And in the book, one of the things that he touches on is it's a real simple idea. It's just to be nice to yourself, bless you. To be nice to yourself. And he's practicing going over all these different techniques on, like, how to play the piano, how to play it really well. I want to be this and be that. But I think. One of the things in the book, he just has to learn how to be. He just has to learn how to do what he does best. Like, he just has to learn how to. He's learning how to play his music and not criticize his own work. Like, not have, like, to know that his work is really good and just to believe in himself and to know this is good. You know, I'm creative. Right. This is. You know, I love, like, this is who I am.
Did you teach yourself how to play the piano and the violin?
No, I learned violin. Just, I had teachers growing up, but piano, like, I just learned on YouTube. So, yeah, that was it.
And you taught yourself how to make beats.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's the thing. That's self-love. Like, that's the thing. Like, you took the time out to invest in a skill and something that you was passionate about. Right? And so it goes down to, like, taking it day by day and knowing who you are. Like, how are you investing in yourself? Like, I didn't write these books overnight. Like, I had people, like, I had to read something, write something every day. And it's like, what are you doing every day? Like, what are you doing when nobody's looking? Like,
are you investing when nobody's looking? Because a lot of people put on this display and stuff. Somebody looking at them, so I want to be very ambitious when they start to go behind folks. So they have the same work, they have the same energy, keep that same energy.
A lot of people don't know how to do.
I'm just saying, some people cannot, but it goes back to a balance, though. Because some people, it comes back to your mental state, your emotional state. Some people don't even know how to have a balance of that in order to have a balance on their own personal life outside of, you know.
Yeah.
Some people moody, some people bipolar. I mean, seriously, though, this is real life. Some people are skids. And we walk past these type of people every day. But you know what I'm saying? They don't know how to balance those things out. That's why they're still stuck in the same place that they never get forward. So, you know? And it's kind of sad, though, because, like, we don't get to, like, Americans, you know what I'm saying? We consider it poverty, but sometimes we all can get each other out of poverty if we help one another. Or everybody's stepping on each other, trying to get to the highest level, but they ain't going nowhere. Because you're still in the same place.
Yeah, I agree. So, hey, I'm glad you came. So, like,
is there, like, something, like, as far as self-love, is there something that you want? Is there, like, a technique or something that you would give someone about?
Yeah.
I'm glad. Yeah, I was saying, is there something, like, you can tell them about self-love, like,
talking. So like I believe in rituals. Like rituals, like every day, like the power of I read this, Marsh Shay, didn't you have that book, The Power of Habit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I listened to it.
I listened to the audiobook first, then I read it and took notes on it. It's very interesting how we think, what the basis of it is how a habit turns into something that you do every day. It turns into something.
People been, did you see the word wrong punch yet? niggas is tripping all over the place. They cannot stay still. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. Thank you. So that wraps up part one of the live experience, the 1 year anniversary. Shout out to everybody who was in the room. Like I said before, it was just a good exchange of information and energy. Big ups to Mad Keys, to Brandon for putting a book plug, The Effortless Mastery by Kenny Werners. Make sure y'all go check that book out, listen to the audio book. And something that he said that stuck out to me was like, be nice to yourself. And then I had did my research, and one thing that the author talk about is just like, if you love something, try to reconnect back with the joy and the passion of it, and disconnect from your ego, and you will effortlessly master whatever skill that is. And to piggyback off of Marche's point, The Power of Habit, check that book out too, or at least look at some notes or audio book. It's about what you do day to day that determines your course. So, yeah. And my favorite quote from one of the dopest children book authors is by Dr. Seuss. So be sure when you step with care and great tact. And remember that life's a great balancing act. Life is about balance. You got to love yourself to get balance. You got to know what's sweet and what's sour. And I'm going to close on that note. Part 2 coming up next. Peace.